In a world of change, where do you belong? The answer's clear, it's time to be strong. Mindful growth, that's where we thrive. With Angela's guidance, watch your best self arrive. Transform with strong, reach for the stars. Resilient minds, that's who we are. Awakening potential, near and far. Angela Armstrong, raising the bar.
Welcome to Transformation Talk with Angela Armstrong. In today's episode, we have a special guest, James. We will be discussing his transformational journey. As a child, he faced something that was very traumatic and it changed him forever. He had to learn how to overcome those challenges and gain more resilience in order to have a successful and fulfilling life. Thank you for joining us, James.
Yes.
James, can you tell us a little about yourself?
I am originally from Shreveport, Louisiana. I have a long career in law enforcement. I'm still currently in law enforcement now, just in a different capacity. I'm in Lafayette. That's why I made my home as of now. Pretty much all I'm doing now is Vermont working. I'm pretty much training. I'm just now pretty much getting to a point in my life where I think I ain't gonna say beating back all the obstacles I've had, but I can say that I can handle things a lot more now, due to the stress that I've, or mental health issues I've had in the past.
Okay. Can you touch on some of those things and how you have coped or managed it, how it's affected you growing up? Like anything that you've dealt with, how have you gotten past it? What methods have you used?
Well, I'm gonna say, for most people, you're dealing with PTSD, and you're dealing with childhood trauma. You don't actually ever just totally get past it. It's a constant battle every day, right? What I find as I've gotten older is it's not so much, it's how I deal with situations or how I deal with the stress rather than just not dealing with it at all, like the initial incident that, pretty much got me down this path was, when I was 11 years old, my mother was shot and killed by my father. I was 11 and, I have a younger brother. He's 9 when all that happened. My father was a police officer. My mom was a registered nurse. So he wasn't, a poor family. I would say we were probably upper middle class. We had everything we wanted, everything we needed, plus some of the things we wanted. I remember the day it happened. I was just getting back home from, I was getting ready to start the following school year. We were going shopping for school clothes. So that's what we're doing that day. When we came to the house, me and my brother were baking a pizza, watching some kind of movie. And my mom and dad were back. Didn't even hear them argue. Didn't hear nothing. All I heard was 3 gunshots. And I ran back there and I kind of saw the aftermath of what happened. Then we were told to leave. We were sent to our neighbor across the street house. I'm trying to remember all this, because sometimes I think your body, your brain protects you from these memories. So, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened. I remember going across the street to my neighbor's house. I remember them after a long, seemed like forever. I remember them bringing my mom out on a gurney, they're pumping her stomach. And then that day was kind of a blur. But everything I've gone through in life has kind of stemmed from that. As far as, I went from being a happy-go-lucky 11-year-old kid to basically a grown man mentality in basically a day. I was treated different from my brother. I mean, for the reason I didn't feel like the people that were around me didn't care anything about me. I didn't get help mentally. Man, I might have talked to a counselor once or twice, but that was never near enough. I mean, people thought I was okay, I guess. I was an athlete. I played football. I ended up getting finding my way into martial arts. So I was doing so much things physically, and I didn't show any outward signs of having issues, but they were always there mentally. I didn't have help with them. I spent my first, probably my freshman year of high school. As I remember my whole freshman year, I was still going to court testifying against my father to put him away in prison for the rest of his life. I was doing that while going to school. That was, I remember my freshman year of that my freshman year of high school. That's what I was doing. So all those things, not having parents, not having a father figure, having anger issues, I had all those things. I just felt like I was lucky, I found martial arts. There was a school right by my house that I would go to. Didn't have any money for lessons, but I would I would go there. He would let me train for free. I would clean up for him, just do stuff around the dojo. And that's how I got my start in it. That's really what helped me. Starting off, I kind of channeled all my energy into that. I was a good football player. I liked a little lifting weights, all the power lifter. So anything that I could physically put my energy into, that's kind of what I did. So I never got in trouble in school and then get into fights. I didn't try to hurt other people. But I also don't believe none of those things. They were just putting band-aids over an issue. None of those things were a permanent fix. However, on the outside looking in, since I was doing all those things, people thought, oh, he must be okay. But I wasn't okay. I would just keep him busy to keep from having to deal with what was actually going on.
I'm glad you touched on the fact that you never get over it. It's something that you're constantly dealing with, and you just learn to cope. People think that people that don't have issues or think that they don't have issues, they always say, get over it. Right.
Yeah.
There is
everybody. People, I've been in relationships or whatever with people. And you find out as you get older, a lot of people have issues, right?
Yeah.
The issues might not be what your issues are. It might be something else. But it's hard for people to take on your problems if they have their own problems as well, right?
Yeah.
And something as severe as some of my things were, people will say, and I was guilty of this myself. I'm guilty of it now. I will say, man, just get over it. But then I have to catch myself like, you know what? Even though their problem might not be as severe as what I think, you should be, things you'd be worried about, for them, that's a problem. So I tell them to just get over it because, people just tell me that, maybe as an adult, when I was trying to find help, when I was, trying to talk to people who I thought cared about me, you realize that people, they really don't. People assume that you can just get over it. Mm-hmm. You can't just get over it. It's a process, right? And everybody's process is different, right?
Yeah.
But the process, there is indeed a process. And you cannot do it without counseling. You can say, well, I can take this physical stance and I'm gonna lift weights, I'm gonna go work out, I'm gonna do all these physical things, but that's just a band-aid, right? That's just a temporary fix. It's almost like, working out and the trainer became like how a drug addict, an alcoholic uses that to mask his pain. I was using that to mask my pain, right? I was using the gym. I was using, working. I was using anything I can do to keep myself busy. I would use that instead of just sitting down and focusing on the thing I needed to focus on. And what you just said is, man, correct. People think who don't deal with PTSD, who have not had to deal with any kind of mental stress or any kind of severe trauma, and even people that might have, they're just You know, they might think they've healed in their own right, but for them, they really haven't. They just think they have, you know? And they think that you should just better just get past it. And you just never truly really do. You just, like you say, like we've said, we cope with it differently, right? So I can recognize myself now that I've, you know, gone through counseling and done all those things. I don't take medications or anything like that anymore. You know, I have several counselors, two that I can talk to. I don't need to lean on them as much as I used to, but, you know, now I can almost, you know, kind of feel it, the sense of it myself. You know, depression is something that we don't know. I don't think they even have figured out, and you may correct me if I'm wrong, they even figured out, you know, what the onsets of depression are. I can't tell you what triggers my depression. I can tell you I could be completely happy. I can just and I can just feel depressed out of nowhere. And then I can just come out of it out of nowhere. Nothing negative has to be going on for me to be depressed. You know, I don't think they've even figured out what it is, you know. And maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, just kind of an anomaly in some cases.
I think with everyone, it starts different. Our triggers are all different. So what may trigger you may not trigger somebody else. And then it can also be nothing is triggering it. It just comes. It just like you just feel it. Like you say, you're happy go lucky, and then you're just sad. So yeah.
And then people don't like you're sniffing your spouse, whatever case may be, they don't really understand. It puts a strain on your relationship with that person. Because I know for me personally, I didn't even know what was going on with me. Like, I had no idea why I was acting the way I was acting. I didn't know anything about PTSD. I just knew that all these years I've been able to kind of cope with things, but all of a sudden I just couldn't anymore. All of a sudden things that I thought I had dealt with, I couldn't deal with them anymore. All of a sudden things were making me angry. The things that I would normally be able to kind of push it aside, I would get mad about things. My behavior changed in a way that I did not like in myself. Mm-hmm. So I realized I had to get help, you know. And the relationship I was in at the time, you know, that young lady, she kind of, you know, noticed it. And of course, she put me in a direction to get help. Now, we didn't stay together, but she did at least help me get started on that journey, you know. And that's people's choice. You know, maybe some people can't deal with all that, you know, deal with everything. And I understand, you know, that's not what some people sign on for. Now, that being said, that's just not the person for you if they can't, but that's that person's choice. But I do appreciate her getting me started in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thing about depression and PTSD, sometimes people can notice something's wrong, but they can't, they can't pinpoint it themselves, or especially if they haven't been diagnosed. But sometimes they'll know something's wrong and they'll say, okay, but it's also up to us to figure out, okay, we need help. But when we figure it out is when it happens. Like there's no set time. I know for me, I think I can do everything myself, and it took a long time for me to get help for my PTSD, anxiety, and depression. It wasn't until 2017 that I got officially diagnosed, and I went to the doctor, and I just say, hey, I need something to help me focus. And next thing I know, the captain comes and takes me to the mental health place. Like for me, it was just that simple. Because I noticed that I wasn't focusing. I couldn't focus on accomplishing things that I had been accomplishing just fine. When things happen and they happen right on top of each other, that's when it gets to us the most. Let me go talk to somebody and figure out how to get this help that I need.
And that analogy you gave, so I look at martial arts and that the help with that, you know, so You just said when things stack onto each other, right?
Yeah.
So how I look at that is your opponent. But we train people how to fight, right?
Yeah.
But you're training a mentality, not how so much and not really training somebody to fight another person. And that you are training to fight another person, but at the same time, you're cultivating a mentality. Okay, I'm going to fight through this adversity. I'm going to fight through this challenge. In your regular life, that challenge could be one obstacle after another, after another, after another, right? A stack on top of each other. So you're sitting there, you're looking at, man, all these problems, they're stacked up to here, right? Mm-hmm. How can I get over that? How can I defeat that obstacle? How can I fight against that opponent, per se, right? And it looks insurmountable because we're looking at them stacked on top of each other. Well, what I've realized I gotta do is focus on one problem at a time.
Yes.
Right? So if you and your dojo and you're like, we do some call, here we do some call, and I take that lesson and I explain it to them, my students before we do it. I said, this is not about you getting beat up by several people. Because if we're gonna do some call of round robin or bull in the rain, maybe you might call it that when you go. Well, you're in the middle, right? The opponents they come at you one at a time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So each time you have to stop, and when that opponent or i.e. obstacle attacks you, you have to do something to defend yourself against that opponent, right? You might be in the ring, you might be in the middle for the 2 minutes straight, but it might be three or four people attacking you in those 2 minutes. And you have to adjust. Each person gonna be a different size, gonna be a different speed, strength, fighting style. You gotta adjust each one as they come. You gotta do that on the wheel.
Yeah. Right?
You can take that same mentality and do things in life itself, right? I gotta pay this bill. Let's attack that problem. Let's attack that opponent, right? Let's get that done. The next one, my car broke down. Okay, now let's get that taken care of. My kids are doing bad in school or they had an issue at school. Okay, now that's the next thing. Let's get that taken care of. And soon we just taking those opponents, those obstacles, that fight to each thing. And soon you look up, you're past the threshold of your obstacles. That's how I start looking at things. And that's what helps me. I ain't saying it's gonna help everybody else. You know, it's the fight. It's and I don't mean a physical fight. It's a mental fight. It's a that mentality that we're trying to train and get things. And you know, and hopefully they can find it, that motivation. And maybe me talking here today, reading a book about somebody else, or whatever the case may be. But that's my main reason for sitting down and sharing my story and my methods, because maybe that might be something somebody else can use.
Yeah. Most of the time we keep quiet about what we're dealing with, because I did that for a long time. I kept everything to myself, and something happened with work, and I realized I need to say something, because I'm quiet. So sometimes people take that as a weakness. So if I don't speak up, then they just keep coming and keep coming and keep railroading. So it got to the point to where I said, okay, you know what? I'm seeing other people go through this. Other people are coming to me because they're dealing with these types of situations as well. So it's time to speak up. It's time to figure out a way to help other people. One thing I've learned is that when you deal with trauma, especially as a child, like you have and like I have, you grow up with those traumas, and sometimes you turn to bad and sometimes you turn to good. You're either going to do one or the other. So I'm glad to see that you use your trauma to be better, to become better. I've known you for a long time, and I can see the changes that you've made in yourself. I can see the growth. And I do want to say that and let you know that I see that, and that I'm glad that you're helping other people to get better and sharing your story.
I mean, you know, the thing I want most is for people to have understanding, right? Because there are so many people that are going through this same type of stuff, right? You know, the same might not be the exact issue, it might not be the exact thing that caused it.
Yes.
But it's the same end result, right? Mm-hmm. It's traumatizing to them. They don't know what to do. They want to deal with it. You know, say you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something, and they just don't understand what you're going through, right? Yeah. So because they don't understand it and it's not the ideal situation for them, so they just break away from relationships, they just go deal with somebody else they think it's easier to deal with, right? So, and then what does that do to the person that's going through the trauma? How they feel? That just makes them feel like they're even more worthless. So, you know, I'm gonna tell you, it was the Christmas before last Christmas. Yeah, about 2 years ago. You know, I was very, the holidays, I was very, very down. I was by myself. You know, I had been giving away. I started giving away. I mean, I had a few $1,000 in the bank. I saved up. I gave it all away. I was going around to homeless people, giving them $100 bills. I had, you know, swords, you know, martial arts stuff. I had, you know, my video games, I gave all this stuff away. My plan was, my birthday was coming up in December because right before Christmas. My plan was to not be here. So I'm thinking back on it now. I just can't believe I let myself get to that point before I started actually, you know, getting help. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I cut my hair. I went and bought some fresh clothes. I wanted to be dressed nicely when they found my body, correct? I had written letters to several people explaining to them instructions of what I wanted to be done with what I had left. You know, I hadn't mailed them off yet. I had a pretty nice place. So I had my TV was there. I had another sofa over there. And in that sofa over here, I had a bag full of these. I had written letters to everybody explaining to them why I did what I did. I left instructions for them. I was dressed in my best clothes that I had bought. I had a fresh haircut. I wanted to make sure that when they found me, I wasn't, and I cleaned my house, it was spotless. So I wanted everybody, when you came into my house and found my body, I wanted it to be pristine. You know what I'm saying? Like my mind was so screwed up. I did not want to be here. I called two people that I thought cared about me. So both of them were females that I was dealing with at the time. Not at the same time, but, you know, at that time. So I called one. She's like, I don't have time to deal with you. I can't deal with this right now. And just didn't, and just hung up and blocked. She actually blocked me. After I was telling her how I was feeling, she blocked me. I called another one, and she called the police on me. Said police came to my house, and I lied to them. You know, I said, oh, man, I'm good. You know, they didn't really give a shit. You know, they come knocking the door. Man, you okay, man? Oh, man, I'm good. You know, they were here too. Once they were inside my house, they would have seen my gun laying on my sofa. They would have seen, you know, they did any kind of investigation, they would have seen all kind of things that were wrong. They would give me a red flag. Hey, this guy ain't good. We need to, you know, yeah, get him some help. You get what I'm saying? But you know, they normally do and get gone. But anyway, this guy, like, he goes to a church on Louisiana Avenue here in Lafayette. Devin is his name. Devin is his name. I had met him 2 weeks prior to doing something. I think he hung my TVs for me. I had met him through a friend, and he was really big into the church. He's a good guy, good family guy. And he called me right in that time period. He called me. And he was trying to sell me something. They were trying to sell me some kind of TV package or something. And I'm just listening to him. I'm like, that's why this dude's calling me right now. And, you know, I was kind of breaking down. I just kind of broke down. I told him what I was, you know, how it, man. He's like, man, you don't sound good. What's going on? And I told him what I was going to do. And he said, you know, he was in the church. Him and his pastor, they came to my house. They sat with me. Those letters I had written, you know, he took those. They stayed with me until I was okay for, you know, a few hours after that. And and I got through that time period. And after that, that's when I really got into, you know, going to church and started, you know, praying to God. And that's what really, really, really helped me the most. Then I started going to counseling. And then I just started just slowly, just, you know, you kind of got to, you know, the Michael Jackson song, you got the man in the mirror, right? You kind of got to look yourself in the mirror, and you got to have some tough conversations with yourself, and you got to kind of get your shit together. You know, it's kind of lack of better ways to say it. You know, I can't make it no more plainer than that. I mean, nobody's coming to save you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do the work yourself, you know? And that's when I realized it was just me, right? You know, I have to save myself. People can lead you to the water. They can lead you to where you got to go. But even in your training, you know, your instructor in martial arts, he can teach you how to throw the kick. He can teach you how to throw the punch. He can teach you all those things. It's up to you to apply it the right way, correct?
Yeah.
So, same thing with this. So, I took advantage of what was handed to me with God. I feel like God put him in my life for that reason. And then I met the owner of the school's name, Mr. Harry Duyon. He's the owner of this place. And he's given me a chance to kind of pour that into other people, you know?
Yeah.
Because I truly believe I have a passion for training. I love teaching people. I think doing it through martial arts or physical training is so much of a better way than doing it through drugs or alcohol, even popping those pills that the doctors give you for depression and all that. How about we get in here and we get your body to get yourself physically fit? And physical fitness can lead to mental fitness. And then, we're like a family here. You know, people have issues. We sit around and we talk about it, you know? And all that we can do here. I'm not saying I'm going to get professional help yet. We'll get you on counsel, get professional help. But how about we do our due diligence and let's help people. Let's take care of each other. Don't just shun somebody away. Oh, he got that PTSD. You know, that's not no STD. You know, it's not something that you can take a pill and get rid of. It's something that you got to constantly work on. And I just think the world, us as a whole, we just don't care about each other enough anymore.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's basically the bottom line. If everybody, and I ain't talking about care about somebody that you can get something from, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's people in general, because it's easy to care about somebody that, if I deal with this person, I get this in return. Mm-hmm. How about just being a good, good citizen, good person, see somebody in need, whether it be mental, physical, you know, I know most people don't have a lot of disposable income nowadays because the economy is so bad. But, you know, what's giving somebody $5, $10 if they hungry or need a meal or whatever? I don't see nothing wrong with that. But that's just me. I mean, I think my mentality is few and far between now. You know, I don't think people really feel that way anymore. Everybody's just worried about themselves. And that's why we are in the place we are now as a society, you know. You got somebody that's got going through things I'm going through. I could have easily chose the other route,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then with my physical abilities, my physical size, and the way I look, you know, I could have been killed by some police officer because I get pulled over or I go somewhere because I'm not mentally stable. I'm doing dumb shit, you know. Police get called, and because of the way I look, I'm gunned down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ain't gonna talk. They're not gonna negotiate with me. I could have easily been there. I could have easily been locked up in jail somewhere. I could easily, I could have easily chose the other route to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I don't even know why I chose that route. You know, I know growing up, my dad, you know, I used to always watch him train a lot. He was a police officer too back home.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I remember being growing up in that household, he was always training. You know, it would be guys come to our house, other police officers, and I would go watch them train.
Yeah.
You know, these were black men. These, you know, and I would look at them in awe. And to me, they look like, I'm 6, 7, 8, 9 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That time period. And I'm just watching these men who I idolize, lifting weights, running, shooting, I mean, doing all these amazing things. And I'm just like, these are this is what a man is to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A man should be, this is what he should be, you know, physically fit, strong. I mean, they were, all of them were muscular, you know, these wasn't some, so it's, that's kind of how, you know, my eyes will go to, that is what a man should look like, you know, so that's just me. I'm not saying that's how it should be. I'm just saying that's, you know, probably why I geared myself towards the physical part and then going towards, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, stuff like that. So on the flip side, if I had seen drugs growing up, if I had seen alcoholism growing up, if I had seen those things, I probably would have turned towards those things. That's what I would have known. But I didn't see that. I saw people working out. I saw people going to the gym. I saw people training in martial arts. I saw people doing so. You know, that's what I veered toward when I had issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, I didn't do the second step, which I didn't go professional counselor. I didn't go talk to anybody. I held all that stuff in, and I would only let it out in the gym. I would let it out in training. I would let it out when we're sparring somebody. I would let it out then. But that was only a temporary fix. I never, ever, ever got to the root of the issue until recently. So,
okay. I'm going to revert back to your childhood for a little bit. So, how has your childhood experience impacted your approach to building and maintaining relationships as an adult?
Well, at first it was a bad one, you know, because I didn't trust people. And if, you know, plus not having, you know, people tend not to realize how important a father figure is. I remember seeing my mom and dad interact. They never argued in front of us. My dad was always mostly at work, but when he was home, even though my mom made more money than he did because she had been a nurse, but he would get the checkbook out first of the month. He would get all the bills, and I would see him he would grab his calculator. I can remember like yesterday, like clockwork,
mm-hmm.
at a kitchen table. You know, old school, you couldn't do it on your phone. You had to go write things out, you know? So he had this manual calculator, right? He would have it sitting there, and underneath it would be, you know, some legal pads. He would be writing down stuff. Then on the right side of him would be the bills, right? He would go take the bill, and he would go, you know, I guess he's subtracting the balance from the checkbook. They write a check, you know, he had to go to the mail, and you had to mail them off back in the day, right? So
yeah,
you had to have a roll of stamps, you had to have an envelope. I remember this like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He would, you know, take the checks, he'll put them in the envelope. Post office was not too far from my house, so he's a walker. Sometimes he would jog, I'll ride my bike behind him. We'll go to the post office, and he'll mail everything off. He would say stuff to me like, you know, two things.
Mm-hmm.
You can be poor as dirt and be in shape and clean. You ain't got to be rich if you need one of those, right?
Yeah.
My mom would say stuff to me like, you know, God blesses you to bless other people, right? Yeah. So, you know, if I become a millionaire one day, that money ain't for you. That's for everybody else. You know, that's the thing that she would say to me. But with that being said, as I got older, once all that happened, you know, I lost that guidance for a long time. I didn't know. So the thing is, a young man should know from a day, you know, I had to learn about women, which I still don't know anything about. But I had to, you know, learn how to handle business. I went to college. My roommate, he had his dad was a state trooper. So, and him and his dad would kiss each other, they were real affectionate with each other. And I was like, man, I would look at him strange. Cause his dad would come and they would hug each other. And I'm not talking about this all over each other. He showed him so much love and compassion. I just didn't understand that. But, you know, I had to buy my own car in college. You know, his dad bought his car. So we both built cars at the same time. So mine was off my sweat and his was, that was handed to him. But then we got to a wreck. No, he got to a wreck before I did. He got to a wreck. He called his dad. His dad comes down, takes care of the gifts. You know, in a month, he's in a new car and everything is taken care of. Mm-hmm. I get to a wreck. I have no idea what to do. I have nobody to call. Right? I had to figure it out on my own. You know, I didn't know the call. I had insurance, but I just knew to pay the bills. I didn't know how to call a person to go get the estimate. And the person had to come adjust and give me. I didn't know none of that.
Yeah,
I didn't know. So it's a little thing like that. I didn't start growing hair until I was in college, so I didn't know how to shave. Right. My college roommate, the one I just said, he taught me how to shave. He taught me how to take care of a vehicle. You know, he showed me how to keep it clean, check the oil, all those things. I didn't know how to do it because I had nobody to tell me how to do it. Right. I don't think he even knows this point that he was teaching me these things, I never told him. I didn't know. You know, so it's those things, like you asked me how those things as a child affect you as an adult in a relationship, you know, because, you know, I'm looking at people and I'm so quiet. So now I'm being more observant about things around me. You know, when you're observing stuff, what are you doing? You're quiet, right? You don't talk much. So people look at you like, why he ain't talking?
Yeah.
Something's wrong. But really, I'm just trying to learn because I don't really know what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Relationship-wise, you know, just, we had a big family growing up, but once all those things happened, our family split. So I didn't see my family. So we didn't have family functions or anything like that. So when I got with someone relationship-wise that had family functions, I didn't know how to act. I'm just sitting in the corner looking like, well, dang, this is how it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was so amazed by just the smallest things because I didn't have that, you know, growing up. Just something as having family around. I was like, man, I hadn't had a family function since I was like 8, 9 years old, you know? So I didn't know how that looked, you know? It's just things like that, you know, when you deal with other people, they think that should be easy for you to do, right? Had that a traumatic experience from your childhood that took away from you those abilities to somebody to show you that or learn that or be in that environment, then how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to adjust to it when I've never been in that situation before? Hmm. Like being in crowds of people, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't comfortable, you know, talking to people. You know, because you kind of lose a little of your self-worth. I mean, me personally, I was told a lot of negative things about myself. So it killed my self-image of myself, my self-confidence, my self-worth. You know, those are things I'm just now starting to get back, you know. So.
So your communication skills, it was hard to develop those as a child because of your traumatic experience. So how did you develop those, and what's the difference of how your skills used to be versus how they are now?
Emotional part, I still work on that. I don't like to show them a lot, but communicating wise, I mean, just like now, I have students I got to teach now. So I got to be able to communicate. And I think, you know, martial arts helped me in that because even at the police department, one of my jobs was to teach cadets, right? So I had no choice. I had to be able to communicate, right? That department didn't want to hear no excuses about my childhood trauma. Why can't I communicate to these people on how to do whatever I'm teaching them to do, right? So I kind of had to, you know, crash and burn that. So I mean, I had to go from being so shy and timid, didn't want anybody to look at me because I felt I was such an unattractive, ugly person because that's what I was told I was. To now I got to stand in front of, you know, 30, 40 people and pretend to be this self-confident, reassuring person when I was none of that, right? Yeah. Inside, I was none of that. I had to project something that I didn't feel I was. But now I've had to develop that as far as, I mean, like I say, I still got work to do as far as the emotional stuff. It's just hard to trust people with your feelings, you know. Even when we're talking on this podcast, you know, you're opening yourself up to
other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's gonna have one, right? Yeah. Everybody's gonna be like, well, he could have, you know, he could have done this, could have done that. Well, you know, I, unless you're in a situation you don't know. And you know, as a child, no, you know, I remember this happened to me as a child. So as a child, you don't even understand what's going on. For me, I became kind of like a recluse. I kind of drew into myself once all that negative stuff happened around me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know, I was a Dragon Ball Z fan, right? I still am. And I would always veer towards you know, when the characters, when they power up, they have this force field around them, right? Uh-huh. And when they transform, they kind of, they scream, they let out these energy fields. And when they're doing these, when they do these transformations, these energy fields surround them. And when they're in the energy field, it's kind of hard for anything to penetrate them, uh-huh. right? So that's kind of the stance I took. Well, I'm just going to surround myself in this cocoon, this energy field, to where, you know, people can't hurt me anymore, right? But in doing that, you know, you really retard your development as far as communicating skills, yeah. emotional skills, relationship skills, all those things you need to develop a relationship where, man, I didn't get a chance to develop those, right? So in the relationship I was in, I didn't know what I didn't realize that what I was doing was detrimental to it. I thought I was just being how I needed to be to protect myself. I was being so selfish. I wasn't thinking about the other person. You know what I'm saying? Now I realize, which has been now, I would be open to a relationship more so because I realize my deficiencies, right? So now that I know what I was doing wrong all this time, I can fix it, right? I can be self-aware of, okay, I can't be this way. Yeah, and also if my partner is having an issue about, you know, something because of what I'm going through, I can recognize it and I might can help her through it if she lets me, you know?
Okay. So what advice would you give to other children or young adults who have experienced the loss of a parent or both parents at a young age?
If you're a child and you're going through and it's something fairly new and looking at the news, I'm seeing stuff happening all the time. Those children, it's going to be hard for them they're going to have to hopefully have an adult in their life that cares about them enough to give them help. Because they're not going to be able to get it themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just pray that those children get the help they need. Because if they don't get the help they need at that young, at that age, whenever it happens, I got lucky. I was able to keep my wits about myself and not end up, you know, who I could have been that crazy someone that tried to kill Trump not too long ago. You know what I'm saying? Because my mind was all messed up. Mm-hmm. I just feel by the grace of God that I didn't go that way. I could have gone that way. It was very easy for me just to say, you know what? Hurt people. I'm hurt. I'm going to hurt other people, right? What they say, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
I could have easily done that. I could have it's easy to just let yourself go. It's easy to just do that. But for some reason, I just didn't. And I would just pray for those children that somebody in their life, some concerned adult, will get them the help that they need. As an adult, if you're still dealing with trauma from a child, you're going to have to stop blaming other people, which is what I was doing. I was, every time something went wrong, why don't she understand? Why can't she understand me? I am not like it. You know what? You got to face yourself. You got to look yourself in the mirror. You got to do the work on yourself. You're not a child no more, right? Mm-hmm. Don't have the excuse of, you know, oh, this happened to me when I was a kid. Yeah, it happened when you was a kid. And I'm going to say this. Yeah, people should understand more, right? People should be more compassionate about that. But it just ain't it's not the reality. It's just not, right? You know, you got so many people that are just walk away from somebody because of stuff that, and I thought it was so unfair. You know, I'd be like, man, you know, you can deal with somebody, and then when you tell them about your past, right, they ain't got nothing to do with you. It's about something your parents did, right, or your father did. and they walk out of your life because they just said, man, if this happened to you as a child, there's no way you could be straight now. So they leave you alone. They make a decision to the, like, whatever issue you might have, they don't want to deal with it. So they out the door, right? I thought that was so unfair. I would be like, man, it's so unfair for me to be penalized because of something that I had nothing to do with, right? However, now that I understand, those people who decide to walk away from you because of some kind of trauma that you had nothing to do with, those people aren't the ones for you, right? They walked away from you, made room for the person that is for you. And before you can deal with and damage that person, you need to fix yourself. You're an adult. You have to do it. And just know it is an ongoing process. You're going to have some great days. And every now and then, you're going to have a bad day. But you need to try to limit the bad days. So they're having a one bad day a week, you try to have one bad day a month. Mm-hmm. Then go from one bad day a month to, you know, a couple bad days a year. Is that possible? Yeah, it's possible. Mm-hmm. You gotta be so self-aware of yourself. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have to kind of, I don't know, can you kind of feel things in your side of your body whenever you're having an issue with something? Maybe you can attest to this. Can you feel the change inside you coming on?
Yeah.
Because you understand yourself now.
Yeah.
So you take steps. Like, okay, I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. I feel it coming. So how do you deal with that? Do you stay in your house, stay away from people, maybe go watch a movie, go do something you enjoy, go do something like that. And then that brings you back, you know, mentally where you need to be so you can now you can continue on with your day. That's how I would tell an adult to deal with it. But the one thing you cannot do is hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold it in because it's going to destroy you.
It's going
to destroy you.
Looking back, what do you wish people had known or understood about your situation as you were growing up?
I don't think them knowing, because, I mean, back then, where I'm from, everybody knew. Nobody would talk to me, of course. I just wish people would have reached out and asked me, was I okay? Instead of assuming if I was okay. That's it. Because I wasn't okay.
Yeah. Your experience with trauma, has that influenced the way you react to other people who's dealing with trauma?
Yes. Because I understand it. I can tell you now, one of our students is going through something and she was telling me about it. I was like, my mind, I'm like, that's not that big a deal. However, you know, to them, it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So before, I didn't understand it. But now, man, you know, people don't understand how much just somebody listening to you.
Yes.
Right? Just you being a listening ear to somebody, mm-hmm. how far that'll go, right? Yeah. If somebody calls you who's having a problem, right? You don't understand. People don't understand. You being that listening ear could be the difference between them hanging up their phone and getting help or hanging up their phone and picking up a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to realize that. You know, stop being so selfish. And if somebody thinks enough for you to call you for help, do your best at the help. And all that probably means is listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It don't cost no amount of money to listen to somebody. Because I don't think it does at this point. All right. It don't cost you no money to listen to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think enough for you to call you because they're going through a tough time, then listen to them. That can be the difference between, you don't know what you could be saving them from doing. They could be getting ready to go hurt somebody else.
Yep.
They could be getting ready to go hurt themselves. They could be getting ready to make some real bad decision, some other kind of decision that's going to affect the negative. But they called you and your words to them help, you know, just, or you just letting them vent to you on the phone. Or in person, or whatever the case may be. So I just really want people just to be a listening ear, you know, don't be so quick to just throw people away when they don't be nobody's crutch either. Cause at some point in time they gotta kinda walk on their own. You know what I'm saying? But you know, help them, you know, and if you can't, if you're not able to listen, if you're not able to be there for them and be that listening ear, because you just got your own stuff going on, then don't just be like, oh man, forget this, you know, just throw them away. Say, hey, you know what? I might know somebody that you can talk to. You know what I'm saying? And they connect them with that person. Because you might not can help them yourself, but you might connect them to somebody else that can help. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I would say. Just try to help people. Just being a listening ear to somebody can go a long way in helping people. And, you know, if I had somebody that would listen to me, mm-hmm. somebody that I could actually talk to, who I felt like actually cared about me, I would have been a lot further along a lot sooner than I am now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Is there something that you do to honor your mother in your daily life?
What I try to do now, if not I'm conscious of it, I just try to be a good person. That's it. You know, I try to pour into other people as much as I can. To my detriment, I help people. you know, sometimes I put myself in a bind trying to help other people, because that's kind of how she was. She would always help people. So that's what I do now. If anybody needs my help, and it kind of hurts me too, because sometimes I don't understand why people don't help people more. You know, I just like, man, if somebody can come for me for help, if it's something I can do within reason, I'm probably going to do it with no thought of anything in return. I'm not going to help some woman that needs my help, and then because I'm trying to sleep with her later, you know what I'm saying? If she needs my help and she thought enough of me to ask me for help, then I'll say she just needs my help. I'm not doing anything for anybody with any thought of anything in return. Nothing. I'm doing it completely out of the goodness of my heart, because I don't know, this is the way I think people should be. Now, I don't know, the world just isn't set up that way anymore. That's not rewarded, and you don't do it for rewards, but it's almost like you're almost discouraged from helping people nowadays because of.
Yeah, I won't say everybody's a user, but it's a lot of users out there.
A lot of use out there, and that's where I, you know, more have issues. That it's like, do I help? Do I not? You know, but at the end of the day, man, I just, you know, for my mother go, I don't do anything. You know, sometimes when her birthday, when the anniversary of her death comes around, I get, you know, a little bit depressed. Her birthday is coming up, I'll get a little depressed. And, you know, holiday time is usually when I get the most depressed or I feel down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the last holiday, I went to help homeless people, you know. We had a cold snap down here. And I went around, you know, my own time, own money, picked up homeless people, got them little cheap hotel rooms, get them off the street, you know. I did that, you know, because I believe that's something that, you know, she would wanted me to do, to help people as best I could. You know, I didn't have a whole lot I could give, but I can give that, you know? So.
Okay. What do you value most in life?
What I value most? That's a good question. I don't think I like the word value. I do think what I hold dear to me most now is just, you know, I'm older now, so I think the time I have left with the people that are left, like my brother, his kids, you know, it ain't many of us left. There's me and my brother, his kids, my kids. It's just, that's what I hold dear, just spending time with them, trying to pass on my lessons, the things I learned, you know, to, you know, the ones that come behind us, you know what I'm saying? That's really it. I really don't have much that I think. Man, that's a good question. I just never really thought about that. I never thought about that. I can say this, you know, with, you know, me trying to form myself, I've been through two police academies. I've been through in the military. I've been to all this martial arts stuff. I've had a few, you know, amateur fights. I played college football, and all I've ever had happen to me was like a sprained ankle and a sprain, like a pulling muscle in my shoulder. So I could say that I've just been kind of lucky.
Yeah.
That's all. I hurt my left knee. I hurt my left knee one time. And I could say, man, that might just be a reason why I'm still here. Maybe I'm here to help. But maybe this is the reason why I help. You know, I'm talking to you. I'm helping people as I can through this place. That's really what I value more. I just really want people to understand this illness. It's an illness, it's a disease, and how they can help themselves, mm-hmm. and how they can surround themselves with people that can help, way help each other, right? So that's really all I can say about that one. I have to think about that question again.
In closing, do you have anything else you want to share?
Well, I can say, like I say, just coming together as people. I mean, look at our country now. We're divided by, you know, political stuff that's going on. You know, who knows what's going to happen after the presidential election. We got it, three or four weeks for that, November 4th? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, maybe? Yep. On November 5th, election day, you know, what's going to happen if, you know, Kamala wins? You know, these people going to go crazy in the street, or what's going to happen if, I mean, we don't know. I would just say that people just need to come together, black, white, blue, green. We just need to take care of each other. I know it's weird coming from a person, you know, the guy that looks like this, I guess, but that's really what I think about. I would prefer peace. I prefer things to go smooth. I'm prepared for it not to be peaceful. I'm prepared for things to not go smooth, but I would rather things be peaceful than go smooth, you know? So that's really all I can say in closing. I just want people to understand, you know, people that have had trauma, people that that go through PTSD, and a lot of things that we do or have done were not purposely to do to hurt anyone. But, you know, me personally, I can say myself, I've hurt people because I wasn't able to communicate properly, you know, wasn't able to express my feelings properly, wasn't able to deal with, you know, certain things or emotions properly. So I end up hurting people that I can only say maybe a couple were actually only trying to help me. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't know what that looked like, you know, somebody can do something for me. I'm just sitting there looking at them like, why are they doing that? You know, like, why are they, you know, being nice to me? Yeah. I didn't even understand that, you know. But, and I'm laughing now, but, you know, it's just weird that, you know, I had so such of a low opinion of myself that if somebody did something nice for me, I would look at them like there was something wrong with them. Like, why are you being nice to me? You know, like, that's such a bad mental place to be in. But that's why I was there for so long. Mm-hmm. So if somebody did say they loved me, I didn't know what that meant because I didn't love myself. And if somebody did try to help me or do anything for me, why is she doing it? What's going on? What's wrong with you? Why are you trying to help me? Mm-hmm. You know? And that is on me. That's why I had to look at myself and say, you know, you, me, I got to do better. And then and improving myself, and then once and now I can pour that into other people. So,
okay. Well, I will say, I want you to know that you are worthy of love, to be loved properly by somebody. With women, when we care about a man, we do things for them. We buy things for them. If we see they're hurting, or if they need anything, or if we hear them say, It's something they want, and it can be something that don't cost much, or we just hear them talk about something, like we automatically will if we're in the store and we see it, we're going to get it because that's our man, and that's something we heard him say. Like that's what women, good women do. I won't say all women. So don't ever take what someone is doing for you as a negative. That's just, they're just showing you love.
Yeah. I'm not, like I said, I've only had, you know, I can say, I can remember two instances in my entire life where that's happened. Everybody else's have been, you know, people that possibly been dealing with in the beginning and to begin with. So, but yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining our podcast.
In the world of change, where do you belong? The answer's clear, it's time to be strong. Mindful growth, that's where we thrive. With Angela's guidance, watch your best self arrive. Transform with strong, reach for